It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is May 13th. A spooky Friday the 13th, 2022, and it is 1902 UTC. Thank you so much for being here, hanging out. It is Friday, so I've got not all terrible news. I have some lighter stuff that I hope we'll get to. But, of course, we have to start with, you know, the heavy stuff. And we got to start the way we pretty much always start, and that's with
world news.
That's right. Starting off, incredible cruelty. Gang battles leave 150 dead in Haitian capital. Scores wounded as violence paralyzes Port-au-Prince, forcing thousands to flee their home. Nearly 150 people have been killed and scores wounded during gunfights between warring gangs in Haiti, as the latest surge of violence has paralyzed much of the capital. Medicine Sans Frontiers, or MSF, that's the Doctors Without Borders group, said Thursday that it had treated more than 96 people with gunshot wounds in its medical facilities in Port-au-Prince since April 24th. The number of trauma admissions received per week tripled compared to mid-April, and most of them are very serious gunshot wounds that require extensive care. Earlier this week, the National Human Rights Defense Network found that as many as 148 people had been killed during intense battles between the 400 Mawozo and Chin Machan, two feared rival gangs. During a bloody fortnight of battle, gang members raped women and girls and burned people alive, the organization said in a report on Tuesday. In one neighborhood, gangs killed 47 people before burning 17 of the bodies and burying the rest in mass graves. A massacre of incredible cruelty was perpetrated, claims the report, which says the authorities did little to stem the violence. At the highest level of state, there was no reaction. Many residents fleeing violence have arrived to makeshift shelters, sometimes just a few blocks from their homes, where they face little humanitarian assistance and risk exploitation, according to charities working in the hospital. So, really horrible conditions and very scary in Haiti. But, of course, what happens whenever things are really, really bad like that? Well, you get the next piece. 11 migrants drowned trying to reach U.S. territory. At least 11 suspected migrants have died after their boat capsized near the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico. The U.S. Coast Guard said there were 38 survivors so far, mostly from Haiti, with two from the Dominican Republic. Interceptions of migrants in the waters of the Caribbean have spiked in the past year. The sea is dangerous, said Rear Admiral Brendan McPherson from the U.S. Coast Guard. These ventures are dangerous. The Coast Guard first learned of the capsize after the ship... Sorry, let's make sure I get this right. Sorry, I'm just doing the thing here. Reloading. Okay. Alright, there we go. Sorry about that. It took me a second. My browser was not happy with me for some reason. Let's see, let's go to calm real quick. Stug blames Friday the 13th for bad typing, and Ten completely forgot about Friday the 13th. speaking of, we gotta remember Tobe. Yesterday he was bleeding from his leg. Tobe is full of blood. Thankfully, he's got a lot of it, because he tends to spill it. So, he believes he kicked the back of his heel with a sharp toenail, but we'll see. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Let's get going. Alright, sorry. We'll do stories. We're doing news. We're focused. Focusing. Just because it's Friday doesn't mean...
world news.
...that we can sleep. Syria. 10 killed, 9 wounded in a rocket attack on a bus. Attackers hit a military bus with an anti-tank... More cookie pop-ups. Yes, allow that. Don't allow targeting cookies. Don't allow social media cookies. I always go through and add, or I go through and make sure that I remove the, or click on all the options for the cookie pop-ups. But geez Louise, they sure do make it difficult sometimes. But such is life, I guess. All right, now we can get back on track. A rocket attack on a military bus has killed 10 soldiers and wounded 9 more in northwest Syria, the country's state news agency Sana reported. The death toll is the heaviest reported in pro-government ranks from a rebel attack since a truce agreement brokered by Russia and Turkey in March of 2020. The truce is largely held despite sporadic attacks by both sides, including continued Russian air raids. The bus was attacked in the west of Aleppo province on Friday morning, the Sana news agency said. Attackers hit the bus with anti-tank missiles. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack, but let's find it. Sorry, I was looking to see if I had a cool map, but I don't. You know me, I love maps. Not going to happen today. Let's go down to Australia. Sad news. Queensland floods. Residents evacuate as Australia faces a new emergency. This is pretty sad here. Hundreds of Australians have been told to evacuate their homes as Queensland faces another flooding emergency. Really? It's pretty sad. It's a bummer. Sorry, Stug and Calm pointed out that I do love underboobs and maps, and maps that have boobs. Specifically, I've been describing the west coast of Africa. It looks like a big old breast on the side there. But that might just be me. But that's how I've been reminding it. All right. We're going to get here. We're just going to keep going. Hey, Shibu. Hello. Goodbye. Matt. Welcome. Welcome. Using Iceland. I approve. That's my preferred host. That's where I always jump over. I jump over and I use Iceland most of the time. All right. So anyway, there's flooding in Queensland. I'm clearly distracted for whatever reason. I am not paying attention to the world. So, here, this is how you can join Calm and chat with us. All right, and if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch Calm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch COM, that's C-O-M, you press enter, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stug, and Claudio M, and Ratsu, and X1, and Jazzmaz, if he's listening. And all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that. Heck yeah. And of course, Tobe and Stug and DJ 10 for Berlin. And if we press the equal sign, we'll mention the Dubious Goals Committee comes on at 19:30 UTC. That happens every damn day, by the way. Every goddamn day, 19:30 UTC. But today is a special Harry Larry at Something Blue at 20 hours. And then DJ Vol's Weekend and DJ 10 from Berlin, the third ear at 2200 hours, followed by Raleigh and Bronzy Beat. It just goes on and on. You definitely want to be tuned in to Anon Radio. Just leave it here the rest of the day. You'll be fine. You'll have a good time. All right, let's do a couple of less serious or sillier stories. At least in my head, they were silly. And then we'll play a song. So let me just get there. Okay, here it is. Seth Michael, Plant. U.S. Army identifies paratrooper killed in Alaska bear attack. A soldier who was fatally mauled by a bear in Alaska has been identified by the U.S. Army as a paratrooper and veteran of the war in Afghanistan. Hey, Jeff, welcome. I don't think they have bears. Do they have bears in Afghanistan? Sergeant Michael Plant, 30, was attacked during a training assignment at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage on Tuesday. The native of St. Augustine, Florida, they don't have bears in there, was declared dead later that day. Another soldier was also injured. Officials are still searching for the bear. The attack happened in a remote corner of the 64,000-acre base, which is the largest military installation in Alaska. I think the bears are in control of that base. Staff Sergeant Plant was an integral part of our organization, his commander, Lieutenant Colonel David Nelson, said in a statement on Thursday. He was a positive and dedicated leader who brought joy and energy to the paratroopers who served with him. He continued, adding that his loss is deeply felt. He enlisted in the Army in 2015 and was stationed at the base in July of 2021. It is believed a brown bear attacked the soldier. Alaska's Fish and Game Department said on Thursday evening, likely a defensive attack by a female bear protecting her cubs. That happened to that guy. The man trained to hunt and kill people was killed by a bear. Mother Nature setting the balance, I guess. Convicted killer on the run in Texas after stabbing guard and escaping during prison transfer. This is cool because somebody escaping from prison. A convicted murderer is on the run in Leon County, Texas, after he allegedly stabbed a prison guard while being taken to a medical appointment and escaped on foot. Gonzalo Lopez, a 46-year-old killer with ties to Mexican drug cartels, staged the dramatic prison break on Thursday afternoon when he was being transported between Gatesville and Huntsville. The bus was carrying inmates along Highway 7 near Centerville when officials said Lopez managed to get out of his restraints and attack the driver. TDCJ, Texas Department of Corrective Justice, spokesperson Robert Hurst said in a press conference that a physical altercation broke out between the two men as the officer struggled to stop Lopez from taking his service revolver. The inmate allegedly slashed the officer in the hand with some sort of makeshift weapon. Hey, let's see what we've got here. Fun Spam Bamboo Reeds. I do like those too. Home of Deadpool Fight Club. Oh man, sheep can be quite deadly too, according to Tin. Very interesting. Well, don't worry. Let's go through the rest of these silliness and we'll play a song. Why are there continent-sized blobs in the deep earth? Originally, I thought this said boobs, and that's what got me interested. But no, we're talking, why are there continent-sized blobs in the deep earth? They're among the largest physical structures on the planet, and they're a total mystery. In a strange corner of our solar system live two alien blobs with sprawling, amorphous bodies the size of continents. These oddities are thought to spend their time laying in wait for their food to rain down upon them, then simply absorbing it. But their natural habitat is, if anything, even more unusual than their diet. It could be described as rocky all around. There are exotic minerals and unknown shades and forms. Otherwise, it's fairly barren, except for a glittering sea in the far distance. One so large, it holds as much water as all of the Earth's oceans put together. Every day the weather is the same, a balmy 1,827 degrees C. That's 3,321 degrees freedom if you're in the U.S. With some areas of high pressure equivalent to 1.3 million times the amount of the Earth's surface, in this crushing environment, atoms become warped, and even the most familiar materials start to behave in erratic ways. Rock is flexible like plastic, while oxygen acts like a metal. But this blistering wonderland is no extraterrestrial planet, and the blobs aren't strictly wildlife. It's in fact the Earth itself, just very, very deep underground. In particular, the setting in question is the lower mantle, the layer of rock that sits just above the Earth's center, the core. This mostly solid mass is another world, a place that's swirled and flecked with a kaleidoscope of crystals, from diamonds, there are around a quadrillion tons of them in the mantle, to minerals so elusive they don't exist on the surface. Indeed, the most abundant rocks in this layer, Brigmanite and Davemanite, are largely mysterious to scientists. I'm going to put those names in comm because, whoo, buddy, that's hard to say. I think it's probably Bridget and Dave, and they just put Manite after their name because they discovered it or whatever. They need the ultra-high pressures unique to the interior of the planet to develop and break up if they're brought into our own realm, the geological equivalents of the outlandish deep-sea fish that melt when they're trawled up from the bottom of the sea. These elusive minerals can only be seen in their natural form when they become trapped inside diamonds brought to the surface. Even then, what these crystals would actually look like deep inside the Earth is impossible to predict, because their physical properties are so altered by the pressures they usually exist under. Meanwhile, the distant ocean doesn't contain a drop of liquid. Instead, it's made from water trapped within the mineral olivine, which makes up more than 50% of the upper mantle. At deeper levels, it transforms into indigo-blue ringwoodite crystals. At these depths, the chemistry changes totally, said Vedran Levick, an associate professor of geology at the University of Maryland in the U.S. For all we know, there are some minerals that would become more transparent. However, it's the deep earth blobs that are currently gripping geologists around the globe. Welcome, Spring. Thanks for tuning in. So the structures are thousands of kilometers wide and occupy 6% of the volume of the entire planet. It's found, estimates of their heights vary, but one found under Africa and known affectionately as Tuzo is thought to be about 800 kilometers high, equivalent to around 90 Everests stacked on top of each other. The second, Jason, below the Pacific, might extend 1,800 kilometers upwards, translating to around 203 Everests. Misshapen forms are molded around the Earth's core like two amoebas clinging to a speck of dust. These features are very large, very prominent in tomography, says Bernhard Steinberger, a geodynamics researcher at the University of Oslo in Norway. And though these titanic shapes are almost certainly there, almost everything else about them remains uncertain, including how they form, what they're made of, and how they might be affecting our planet. So, anyway, I just think this is a really cool... I think this is super cool, and it goes on and on. It's from the BBC. It's the BBC Future article. I'm going to put a link into com if you care to read more about these monster blobs living in that bizarre world beneath the surface. But we got to get through because this guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
And... We got to play a song. We got to talk about some other wild stuff. So you can go to sdf.org/L/NU. That's like new metal. sdf.org/Lima/November Uncle or November Uniform. That's sdf.org/L/NU. And with that, let's talk about some stuff that I think everybody thinks is cool. Moon soil has been used to grow plants for the first time. Scientists have grown plant and lunar soil for the first time, an important step towards making long-term stays on the moon possible. Researchers used samples of dust collected during the 1969 to 1972 Apollo missions to grow a type of cress. Much to their surprise, the seeds sprouted after 2 days. I can't tell you how astonished we were, said Annalisa Paul, a University of Florida professor who co-authored a paper on the findings. So yeah, moon plants, monster blobs, we're living in the future, folks. It's happening. Somebody get Publius. Is Publius on the phone? This sounds like one of the sci-fi books he reads. Which is another fun Publius show. Tomorrow at 1900 UTC. Because I'm only here Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, Publius has a show at 1900 UTC called A Step Further Out. Which is not the book show. But it is a fun show. So you should tune in. A Cornish pub has says they will not change their name despite a letter from Vogue owner. Landlords of Star Inn at Vogue says it wouldn't have taken 5 minutes to find out the pub is named after Hamlet. Standing 7 stories tall in Mayfair's Hanover Square, a short walk from Savile Row, Oxford Street, and Michelin-starred restaurants, there's a little mistaking Vogue House for what it is, the home of the Fashion Bible's British edition. However, a 6-hour drive away, a pub in the Cornish countryside has become a site for concern for bosses at the fashion giant. Despite the pub having stood for hundreds of years, the landlords have been asked to rename it. The Star Inn at Vogue, named for the hamlet in which it's situated, has received a message from the magazine's owner asking for the change because it says a link between the two businesses is likely to be inferred. In the cease and desist letter, Condé Nast chief operating officer, Sabine Vanderbrugge, argued the company was the proprietor of the Vogue mark, not only for the magazine, published in 1916, but for any other goods and services offered to the public by our company. At first, they were surprised, but it didn't take long for their shock to dissolve to humor. If someone had obviously taken the time to look us up, it wouldn't have taken 5 minutes to say, "Oh, there's a place called Vogue," said Rachel 49, who's not a reader of the magazine. So yeah, gotta love it. Hate that kind of stuff. And one last thing for you. Brazil City claims world's largest barbecue. Barbecue? Yep. 20,000 kilos of meat was used during the churrascão, or barbecue as it's known in the Southern American country. A view from heaven, at least for barbecue lovers. The city hall, located in Para State in northern Brazil, organized what they claimed was the biggest barbecue in the world in order to celebrate the city's 34th anniversary. Local administration spared no expense. According to authorities, 20,000 kilos of meat was used during the churrasco, as it contains a variety of meats which are cooked on a pit. The Parauapebas City Hall, Parauapebas. In 2014, the small city of Minas in Uruguay set a Guinness World Record by hosting the largest barbecue ever. More than 100 cooks used 60 tons of wood for their gigantic barbecue, in which they grilled 16.5 kilos of raw meat. That has to be 16,000 kilos of raw meat for hours. Oh, man. See ya, Matt. Thanks for hanging out while you did. Here's a song. Since we're running low on time, here's a short song. It's called Kabuki Girl from The Descendants.
Look out, get out of my way. I'm going to the Atomic Cafe. I'm going to the Atomic Cafe. Don't miss it when I make a bouquet, girl. Don't say sayonara. I want to see you tomorrow. I want to see you tonight. Don't miss it when I make a bouquet, girl. Face is white, hair is black. Probably stab me in the back. There's a chance that I'm gonna take. Don't say sayonara. I wanna see you tomorrow. I wanna see you tonight. Don't miss it when I make a bouquet, girl. East is east, west is west. Cause our mates are the best. They got more of what I'm looking for. God, look, I get out of my way. I'm going to the Atomic Cafe. I'm going to the Atomic Cafe.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you, my friends. So thank you so much for being here, and thanks for supporting SDF, however you choose to do that. This is just a reminder. Be sure you customize your cookies whenever you visit a new website and it says, hey, we've got cookies. Go ahead and go through the process to say, you know what, I agree for technical cookies, but I don't want any targeted advertising. And just go through that and it'll be great. Don't worry. You only have to do it once or twice, because guess what? A lot of these sites share their information with each other. And if you just say, no, don't track me, they'll track you across these sites as not someone who wants to be tracked. We've got just about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts up. So we're just going to give you some headlines real quick. I think it's because I upgraded my browser, but now I have to update my cookies on all these sites. Cookie preferences. In the U.S., United States Senator Rand Paul has single-handedly delayed the passage of a $40 billion aid package for Ukraine. The allocation of funds has bipartisan support in the Senate, and it was passed in the House. It's also supported by Joe Biden. Helping Ukraine is not an instance of mere philanthropy, Senior Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Thursday. Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer accused Paul of making reckless demands. For his part, Paul has demanded the legislation be altered to include an inspector general to oversee spending on Ukraine. He denied an offer to hold a vote on the amendment, which was all but assured to fail, but instead refused to support swiftly bringing the aid package to a final vote. Under Senate rules, unanimous consent among legislatures is required to bypass lengthy procedural steps that can delay the passage of legislation. This is interesting because, while I normally disagree with this guy on most things, it does kind of make sense if we've sent them, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, and we say, here, go buy bombs, blow stuff up, fight the enemy. But nobody's actually there looking to see if they're really buying bombs or if they're just, like, buying party balloons, or some guy is out there buying a yacht and giving the rest to them or whatever. So anyway, we'll see what goes on. Meanwhile, Erdogan Turkey is not positive about Sweden and Finland joining NATO. Turkish president has cast doubt on Finnish and Swedish membership of NATO, saying he doesn't have a positive opinion of the two Nordic nations. His remarks came as Swedish parliamentary security review said membership would reduce the risk of conflict in Northern Europe, and a day after Northern Finland said it aimed to join the alliance also. While they're both NATO partners, they've long viewed membership as an unnecessary provocation of Russia. Members of NATO would require ratification by all existing members. And Erdogan remarked to journalists after leaving Friday prayers in Istanbul that Turkey would not welcome either. So that's going to be pretty straightforward, I guess, for that. That's pretty easy. Erdogan does not want to learn Finnish. He doesn't want to treat women right. There's a lot of reasons why Turkey's having trouble. And we got 2 minutes. So, two people killed as powerful derecho with 100-mile winds strikes in South Dakota and Minnesota. Two homes and a school were damaged in Castlewood, South Dakota. Derechos are wild. They're just super strong dust storms and wind storms. The storm powered through the upper Midwest on Thursday night, bringing 100-mile-per-hour winds and dust storms. Thousands of people lost power as a result of the weather. And Spring mentions Rand Paul's idea has broad support because it makes sense, but he's holding up the funds through procedural nonsense. Make a point or something? Guy's a dick. That's the point. Yeah, he beat up his neighbor once, or he got beat up by his neighbor, something like that. UAE President Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan has died at age 73. And Israeli police beat mourners at the funeral of slain Palestinian journalist. SMJ mentioned it in Calm yesterday and mentioned it at the end of the show on Monday, I think. Israeli police officers charged at Palestinian mourners carrying the coffin of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh on Friday before thousands led her casket through Jerusalem's Old City, an outpouring of grief and anger over her killing. And last thing, U.S. secretly issued subpoenaed Axe's Guardian reporters' phone records. Newspaper decries egregious move by DOJ to obtain details of Stephanie Kirschgesner's as part of an investigation into media leaks. I'll be back on Monday.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.